I want to direct your attention this morning to the verse 16 of the passage of Scripture which we read together, redeeming the time because the days are evil. We were singing in our hymn just before the sermon, take time to be holy, speak oft with thy Lord. And in one of the verses of that hymn, the words are, take time to be holy, the world rushes on. I want to speak to you this morning on redeeming the time, and I trust that what I have to say will be evidently not in contradiction with the hymn, but will rather complement and show the truth of that hymn, that by taking time to be holy, we are in effect redeeming the time. The Word of God says that whosoever believeth on Him shall not make haste. There is one sense in which the Christian life is a peaceful, easy, and leisurely life. We don't need to be filled with the fear and the turmoil of the world. You know, we have more time today for leisure than ever before, more time for relaxation, and yet the world is more and more frustrated because, of course, it turns away from the precepts and commandments of the Word of God. Truly described for us in this text, the days are evil. Therefore, the more time the world seems to have to do just whatever it wants, the less time it seems to have. It's busy, it's hectic, it's rushing on. So therefore, the Christian can have peace and can have quiet calm and rest in his soul. But on the other level, there is no place for slothfulness in the work of God. Not slothful in business, but fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. We are to make haste in the business of the King, as David said on one occasion. Back home in Ulster, we sometimes have a proverb, never do today what you can put off until tomorrow. Well, such a proverb finds no place in the work of God. It is high time to awake out of sleep, as said the Apostle Paul when writing to the Roman church, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. I simply want to leave two thoughts before you this morning as we turn to the text of Scripture upon which we are meditating. First of all, I want to look at the description of our generation. The description that is given of our generation. It says, the days are evil. The days are evil. And then in the second place, I want to look at the duty of the Christian. The duty of the Christian, redeeming the time. We'll ask what this means and how we may go about it. How may you and I, who are the Lord's, redeem the time for the Savior in this evil day? But firstly, the description of our generation, the days are evil. You know, every excuse that is possible to conceive is made for this generation. Every possible excuse that can be thought up or dreamed up is made for the behavior of the nations of the world and for the individuals in any local society. Because we have a generation that does not believe anymore in sin. We have turned away from the Word of God. We have turned away from the commandments and the precepts of this book, and God no longer is taken into account in summing up the affairs of the world. I'm glad this morning that I stand upon this sure and solid foundation. When God says the days are evil, then I concur wholeheartedly with that. We see sin abounding on every hand. Politically, the days are evil. Now just take the affairs of nations. Back home in Ulster, politically, the day is evil. Here in this country, the day politically is an evil day. Economically, the days are evil. Every morning when you open your newspaper, you read of the perilous state of the currency of this land. And back home it's exactly the same over the past 6 or 7 years or so. The pound has just been sinking lower and lower until it almost sunk on one occasion out of sight into oblivion. Economically, the days are evil. There are many other types and sorts of evil, socially, religiously, morally, legally. We could go down each one of them, and my, how the society in which we live in is being torn asunder by evil. How sad it is that even in this city, I have heard people saying that one cannot go out alone at night from the hours of darkness. Well, I can understand that back in Belfast, perhaps, where we have been plagued by terrorism, cursed by evil men over the past number of years. But in what I would regard as a peaceful society, how sad it is to see folk who are afraid to open their doors at night because of the social evil. Religiously, the days are evil. The very churches are turning away from the Word of God. They're seeking a unity which is not of God's Spirit. They would speak in a babbling of tongues, which is more just a gibberish, and yet it unites them together against the Lord. Morally, the climate among young people is a polluted and perverted climate. Legally, laws are being passed which are directly contrary to the Word of God. Certainly back in Britain, where we have what is known as the Mother of Parliaments, so much of God's law is being deliberately set aside. The days are evil. But you know, not only are there many types of evil, but this evil pollutes all people. Internationally, that is true. Somalia and Ethiopia, they can't agree together. Israel cannot live in peace with her neighbors, nor her neighbors in peace with Israel. It is true with regard to the nations of the world, the Jew and the Gentile, the black and the white, the West and the East. Internationally, the days are evil. Nationally, the days are evil. Isn't it sad to see this very nation, as it were, being divided asunder by extremes of opinion? Provincially, locally, even in the very city in which we live today. But I wonder, what about personally? What about the plague of our own heart? I wonder, dear believer, this morning, how conscious are we of the sin that would lurk within our own breast? What is our relationship this morning with the Lord? How do we stand with regard to His commandments? Because He says in the book, if you love me, keep my commandments. I wonder, are we prone perhaps to make excuse even for our own failures? Are we prone to overlook our own faults and our own sins? There is a devil against us. The Lord said to Peter, Simon, Satan hath desired to have thee, that he might sift thee as wheat. The Scripture speaks of our besetting sin. I believe every one of us have that Achilles heel. The devil is aware of it. And so often he comes and he attacks us just on that point. And we fall so often and we cover it up. And we can perhaps successfully cover it up from those who are near and dear to us, from our families, from perhaps even our friends. But my dear friend, we know that it robs us of power with God and power for God. It robs us of peace. It robs us of strength. It robs us of joy. And yet I wonder, do we cover it up? The days are evil. We had an old rascal back home in Northern Ireland some time ago. He hated the Word of God. And they spoke of this book as being a changing Bible for a changing world. And it's sad to me to see the standards of the church changing with the standards of the world. It's sad to me to see the standards that are accepted among God's people today being lowered because the standards of the world are being lowered. Yes, we may be a little bit behind the world. What goes today in the world may not be accepted today in the church, but tomorrow we're just a little step behind. But my dear believer, the standards of God's Word are unchangeable. Everything that comes from God is as God is, and God is immutable. God is unchangeable. His standards are still there. Ours may be down here, but God is not judging us by human standards. He doesn't see as man sees. He doesn't look on the outward appearance. He looks on the heart, and He judges by His own infinite, eternal, and immutable standards of holiness. The days are evil in many, many ways, in many different places. But personally, the days are evil. Now, Paul, in this chapter which we have read together, draws the contrast over and over again between the church and the world. Let us not make excuse for the world. Let us not make excuse for ourselves, but let us recognize that the days are evil, and then let us do something about it. What are we to do? We are to redeem the time. That is the Christian's clear and plain duty. Redeem the time because the days are evil. What does it mean? Very simply, it means to buy back the time. To do whatsoever we do now. To do it faithfully. To do it urgently. To do it earnestly. In the book of Ecclesiastes, we read, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. Not slothful in business, but fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Now I believe the Apostle Paul, in some verses preceding and following that which we've taken as our text, gives us words of how we may redeem the time. And I would direct your attention to the passage between verse 14 and verse 21 of Ephesians 5. Firstly we read, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Awake thou that sleepest. Before I could do anything today, before I dressed, before I ate any food, before I took my journey to come to the house of God, I had to be awakened from the slumber and the sleep of the night. That is true with regard to each one of us who are the Lord's spiritually. When we were in sin, we were spiritually asleep, spiritually dead, spiritually unconscious, and the Lord came and spake and shone into our hearts, and we were brought from our spiritual state of death. But I've already quoted to you this morning the words of the Apostle Paul to the church at Rome. Now he was writing to believers, writing to those who were quickened by the Holy Spirit, and he says it is now high time for us to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. Sleeping saints, children of the Lord who are in a slumber of a deep sleep. The world is rushing on to hell. The work of God, sadly, by many believers, is being left unattended, and we are saying a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. God says, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth. I wonder, dear child of God, are you redeeming the time? Or are you at ease in Zion? Remember, the Lord said to his people, woe to them that are at ease in Zion. Yes, we can take time, but take time in the right fashion. Awake, awake from thy sleep. Oh, that we might hear the strident trumpet blast of alarm blowing this morning, the hosts of evil marching on, the armies of the devil coming against the church of Christ. Mighty men around us falling, compromise in every hand. The days are evil. Our duty is to redeem the time, and the way we do it, first of all, is by wakening up. Opening our eyes, seeing the world, recognizing the things that are going on all around us. Waken up. Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. We'll get vision when we're awake. Because there is no vision, no word from the Lord, the people perish, run wild, run riot, run without any governing or controlling hand upon them. But then there's something else. In verse 15, the apostle says, see then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Walk properly. Waken up, and then walk properly. This book of Ephesians may be divided very equally into two sections. In the first three chapters, you have the believer's wealth in Christ. Over and over and over and over again. In these first three chapters, the words in Christ, by Christ, through Christ, in him, by him, and so on are found. So many times, it's wonderful, all that we possess in our Lord Jesus Christ. But Paul never gives doctrine without giving a practical application. And if in the first three chapters you have our wealth in Christ, then in the second part of the book from chapter 4, you have our walk in Christ. Chapter 4, verse 1 begins, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Walk worthy. And then chapter 5, I'm sure you noted even as we read together, the word walk occurs several times. Walk as children of light. Walk in love. Walk circumspectly. And if you and I are going to redeem the time for God, then our walk will be a walk that is in accordance with God's word. In the places that we go to, in the manner of our walk. How long halt you, said Elijah to the people of Israel, between two opinions? How long hobble you, the Christian who is walking, trying to walk with one foot in the world and with one foot in the Lord's camp? We just can't do it. And if we are doing it, we're not redeeming the time, we're wasting it. Walk properly. See that you walk circumspectly, because the days are evil. Lead us not into temptation. I wonder, do we pray the Lord's Prayer? You know, I come from Northern Ireland, and in our worship, we are very simplistic. We haven't any form or ceremony or whatever. In fact, sometimes it's regarded as being an abomination before the Lord, rightly or wrongly. We don't, therefore, publicly in the Free Church back home repeat the Lord's Prayer. But in the Gospels, the Lord's Prayer is recorded twice. In one of the occasions, it is given as a pattern prayer, after this manner pray you. On the other occasion, the Lord actually said, when ye pray, say. And I believe there is an occasion, certainly for the believer, personally and privately, spiritually, to actually repeat the words of the Lord's Prayer. Lead us not into temptation. If you pray that prayer, and if I pray that prayer, and I mean it, and I'm really asking the Lord to do it, then my walk will be a proper walk. I will be guided, and I will walk properly. But we must push on. We come on down these verses, and we discover in verse 17 another feature whereby we may redeem the time. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. We first of all waken up, and we get a vision. Then we begin to walk properly. And thirdly, we need wisdom in discerning God's will. The Apostle Paul, when he was along the Damascus Road that occasion, asked two questions of the Lord Jesus Christ. When first he was struck from heaven by that blinding light and heard the voice, his question was, who art thou, Lord? He had no true understanding of the person or nature of our Lord Jesus Christ. Who art thou? But then when he came to a knowledge of Christ, when the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest, Paul had another question. It was this, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? There's a complete reversal in those two questions. In the former, the word Lord comes at the end. Who art thou, Lord? But that renewed man, that redeemed man, that regenerated man, immediately said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? I wonder, tomorrow morning, as we go about our daily business, so much of it might be routine. Might be something that has been planned for us months in advance. But you know, I believe that we can waken every morning with that question, my Lord, what will you have me to do today? Where would you have me to go today? What would you have me to say? Lord, put words into my mouth. Lead my feet. Direct my path. Be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Now, God's will for his church is found in this book. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification. I wonder, are we seeking God's will for that? Take time to be holy. Speak oft with thy Lord. Abide in him always and trust in his word. The will of God for me, not necessarily with regard to a great work sometime in the far off future, but what, Lord, is your will for me today? And if I'm doing God's will, then I'm redeeming the time. Something else here, in verse 18, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Perhaps each one of us in this congregation this morning could fulfill the first part of that verse. Not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. Perhaps you've never tasted the stuff. But yet the symptoms of the Spirit-filled life are akin to the symptoms of intoxication with the wine of the world. Work in the Spirit's power. Working in the Spirit's power. When the apostles got with God, and there on Pentecost the Holy Spirit was poured out, and they were brought forth into Jerusalem, they said, these men are drunk. It's just the middle of the day, and here they are. They're speaking with new tongues, and they're drunk. But it wasn't so. They were witnessing. They were working in the power of the Holy Ghost. Our problem is that the work of God in us through His Spirit is sometimes so lacking in evidence that the world doesn't discern a difference between us and their own standards. There's a work for Jesus ready at your hand. 'Tis a task the Master just for you has planned. He is to do His bidding. Yield Him service through. There's a work for Jesus none but you can do. And the only way, my dear friend, we can do it is in the power of the Holy Ghost. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem. The only way you'll work witness at home, the only way you'll work for God in your own home, among your own family, is in the power of the Holy Spirit. The only way we will see our loved ones saved and won for Christ is if we live among them in the power of the Holy Ghost. The only way we can see them won anywhere in the world is likewise if we're endued with power from on high. We have to waken up. We are to walk proper. We should have wisdom in discerning God's will. We are to work in the Holy Spirit's power. In verse 19 it says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Worship the Lord. Prayer is important. It's vitally important. We need to pray for souls to be saved. We need to supplicate the throne of grace that the Lord might work within our heart. But I believe a tremendously important part of prayer is worship and praise. And it's sadly neglected. In everything to give thanks. Giving thanks always for all things. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart. The psalmist said, great is the Lord, and greatly to praise, that His greatness is unsearchable. I believe, my dear friend, that if we get into that spirit of worship, if we get into that place where we know intimately blessed communion with God, in the secret place, I'm not merely speaking now of coming together to sing the psalms or to worship the Lord in the house of God. I'm thinking now of daily getting into His presence in the secret place in the closet, worshipping Him, just to sit down before Him and be quiet and to meditate and to ponder and to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. You'll redeem the time because you'll be so caught up with His glory. You'll be so caught up with His beauty. You'll be so caught up with His majesty that you'll yearn to shed the light of His praise wherever you go. Then finally, it says in verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God, there will be the witness of discipline. There will be the witness of discipline in the house of God. Every man will not be doing that which is right in his own eyes. That's the world standard. Anarchy prevails in society. Therefore, the days are evil. But there should not and there must not be anarchy within the house of God. God hath laid down the standards of His word. for the ordering of His church. God has placed in His church officers and office bearers. They are responsible to Him. The congregation are to submit themselves to the ordinances of the church. Get a church walking in this way, in an ordered fashion, having the witness of discipline, working in the Spirit's power, worshiping the Lord, being wise concerning His will, walking properly, and wide awake, and we'll redeem the time. Yes, look around in Greenville, and the days are evil, but the opportunities are great. We may think that the army of the Lord is small and the hosts of Satan are many, but it's nothing to our God to save by a multitude or by a few men. Redeem the time. That's our duty. And our God will do that which we cannot do. May the Lord bless His word. Let us bow in prayer. Our gracious,
now the God of peace had brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working you that which is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.